Washington, May 30th, the 904th day of the war. Raymond Graham Swing reviews History on the March, a friendly service from your mobile gas dealer at the sign of the Flying Red Horse.
I dislike to think of any of you being cast on a desert island, but let's just suppose you were. Now, if you were able to rescue a limited number of pounds of food, naturally you'd choose the most nourishing kind. Food that would stretch out over the greatest number of days until relief arrived. Now, that's the principle guiding millions of motorists nowadays in the selection of gasoline. They want the kind that will stretch out over the greatest number of days. That is, give them the most mileage possible. Here's a fact to mull over. Today, when mileage counts for so much, mobile gas is America's favorite gasoline. I can tell you a lot of other fine things about mobile gas, but this fact is so significant that if anyone wants mileage, he should drive in at the sign of the Flying Red Horse. And now, from the nation's capital, Raymond Graham Swing.
Good evening. This is Memorial Day. At the first American military cemetery established in Britain, in which many American flyers have been buried since it was opened last December, an order of the day from General Eisenhower was read. It serves well as an appropriate text for this day. We of the United Nations, it said, must live and work together without regard to race or nationality, creed or service, uniform or rank. Supported by our homelands, we must fight side by side, relentlessly at sea, on land, and in the air, so that we shall win together a better world, secure and free for all men everywhere. Appropriate to the day, too, was the news that leaders of the great powers are to meet in Washington to discuss the security of the better world to which General Eisenhower referred. Secretary Hull's announcement last night that Britain, the Soviet Union, and China are to be approached, and later members of the United Nations, as to plans for a security system, was followed by prompt action today. The British, Russian, and Chinese ambassadors were called in, and it was announced that special envoys from London and Moscow are to come to Washington for what are called informal talks. It is to be assumed that an envoy from China also will be invited. This informal talk in Washington might be called the Spadework Conference, at which the details of a security system are to be worked out. It will not be informal in the sense that hard and telling work will not be done. It will prepare the draft of an agreement for which a formal conference will be called, and that one will polish up the final text and end in the flourish of signatures under Klieg lights. It was learned that plans for this next Washington conference were laid at Moscow when the four-power declaration about a post-war organization was drafted. But it was not disclosed today who will be coming to Washington. It is certain that the conference will not be on the foreign secretary level, as was the Moscow conference. However, the spadework is not to be left to the ambassadors already in Washington. Special envoys are to come. And since they will be less than foreign secretaries and more than ambassadors, the range of choice is narrow. For Britain, it may be Alexander Cadogan, the permanent undersecretary for foreign affairs. And for the Soviet Union, Vice Commissar for Foreign Affairs, Vyshinsky. An American draft for a post-war organization will be laid before them. They will make counter-proposals. And when enough progress in harmonizing these drafts has been made, the spades will be laid aside and fountain pens can be substituted. Then, presumably, the foreign secretaries will meet as they did at Moscow. The informal meeting is expected to begin by midsummer. Below Rome, the Germans grimly defended their temporary anchor at Valmontone, and thus gave their lines to the east and south time to pull back. But the late dispatches, both from Allied headquarters and from London, ring with the tone of coming triumph. General Clark, at a Memorial Day ceremony, declared that before many days have passed, Rome will be liberated. From Allied headquarters in Naples tonight comes the word of mounting signs that the Germans intend to abandon Rome in an attempt to withdraw intact for a new stand in North Italy. The Nazi divisions southeast of Valmontone are striking off through the hills from the Via Casilina along secondary roads that would carry them well to the east of Rome. American tanks are pressing upon Albano, only 13 miles from Rome, and village after village was taken today. Important gains were made on the Velletri-Valmontone road after the repulse of a heavy attack of the Hermann Göring division, in which enemy casualties were heavy. London experts said that Kesselring already had lost a quarter of his 200,000 men in Italy, and it was predicted, perhaps over-optimistically, that 30 to 40,000 German prisoners will be taken in the current phase of the campaign. So it is doubted that the 10th and 14th German armies can make a stand south of the Po. On the Romanian front, the lull since April 11th was broken by a heavy German attack near Iasi, which the Russians admitted made some gains, described as insignificant. The Germans striking first obviously are trying to throw off balance an expected Russian offensive, and this German attack can be read as the prelude to the renewal of the great Russian campaign. The air war today, it is stated, brought 6,000 bombers and fighters over Axis Europe, attacking 8 aircraft plants and 7 airdromes in Germany and Austria, as well as rail centers and coastal fortifications in France, Belgium, and Yugoslavia. Perhaps the most unsatisfactory reporting of the war is about this war in the air. And perhaps it can't be done to anyone's satisfaction. News accounts of the sorties by the thousands have worn out their power to awaken the imagination. The temptation is to try to prod the imagination by adding more planes to the total, but the numbers have ceased to convey much meaning. When the information about air operations is given out in London, the exact figure of the planes participating is not known. What is known is the number of planes which would take part from chosen formations if all planes of those formations were able to take part. That's the maximum figure. And then there's the true figure, which may be as much as 25% less. The maximum figure, however, gets into most of the news agency accounts as the real one, and sometimes even that is exaggerated. So we sometimes have an untrue picture of the number of planes participating. That of itself isn't as deceptive as one might think. The effectiveness of bombing at this stage of the war is so much greater than it was a year ago that the higher figure of planes doesn't suggest a wrong idea of the damage done, which is what matters. But it is next to impossible to translate that damage into terms which can be communicated. I was speaking with an air officer about this and found that he was trying to find better terms. He'd been reading over the record which showed that 30,000 tons of bombs had been dropped on Europe in 2 weeks. That's like dropping 1,500 Statues of Liberty, he said. Well, that may make it somewhat more vivid, but even that doesn't tell the story, which is not the weight of bombs dropped, but the damage they do. And here official secrecy places a screen over the operations, because technical improvements now have made bombing far more accurate, particularly the Pathfinder technique for night bombing. And the blockbusters grow heavier each month, it seems, and spread their ruin over a widening area. But until the air forces feel like telling about their new techniques and devices, the story of the damage done can't be intelligible. There's another side of the story, of course. Defense has improved along with attack. The fact that Berlin manages to carry on a routine kind of life testifies to that. for Berlin has frequently had five times as many bombs in a few minutes as London ever received in a whole night. And then dispersal of industry must have been reduced to something like a science in Germany by now. The British introduced it early in the Blitz, with the result that production in Coventry was cut down not more than 15% by the great attack on that city, and then only for 2 weeks. The answer to dispersal is pinpoint bombing of the smaller plants, and this is being done in Germany. But the results are not announced. The most eloquent evidence of the effectiveness of bombing is the propaganda now being conducted and on a large scale by the Nazis. Last week, the Nazi radio served notice that protection for downed Allied airmen from the infuriated German public could no longer be guaranteed. Now the Germans have launched accounts of the lynching of five American flyers who bailed out over Germany. And the Nazi radio is stirring up hatred for American and British aviators, which is an incitement to the violence which the Nazis say they're not going to control. No official information about the five reported lynchings has been received, and the source of the story, a German agency in Sweden, is highly unreliable. That's not the case of the story last week of the shooting of 47 United Nations airmen while trying to escape from a German prison camp. There now is official confirmation that they were shot. London has their names. And Secretary Eden has filed a strong protest. But there still is no reliable statement of the circumstances of that shooting. The German propaganda as to the treatment to be expected by Allied aviators so far is no more than propaganda. It is devised to scare airmen, which it won't do, and their families, which it may. It may not remain propaganda, however, and the Germans may be ready to adopt the practices of the Japanese and go them one worse by officially inspiring lynching. However, there's another possibility. The Germans may be covering up the awkward fact that the Allied bombings have whipped civilian resentment into such a frenzy that the German authorities have lost control over their own population. But the more likely explanation is that the German authorities are trying to hurt the morale of the Allied flyers. And they are so excited that they forget that they themselves ever bombed Britain or any other foreign country. Otto Krieg, German commentator, said over the Berlin radio, "The world has had to take notice of the fact that the German people have now reached that stage of hate in which justice is no longer determined by the letter of the law, but solely by facts. The limitless, murderous lust of American and British air gangsters," he continued, "makes it impossible for the sound instincts of people to continue treating a criminal like an honorable soldier. About this point, there is no longer any doubt among the German people." During the Blitz over England, the rage of British civilians against German aviators was high, but the British officials never tried to incite it or exploit it. That German civilians should hate the Allied flyers is inevitable, but the propaganda campaign is a kind of official exaltation at the prospect of dragging the official conduct of the war to a lower level. This is how the Nazi mind works, and one can be sure that the cornered Nazi leaders will not submit to defeat without resorting to every conceivable means of destruction, regardless of law, ethics, or decency. And now a friendly message to wartime America.
Thank you, Mr. Swing. If you had a valuable diamond, you'd pay a few cents to protect it against loss, wouldn't you? Yet you have valuable possessions that you may lose if you're not careful. That winter suit you look so smart in, that overcoat your husband wears with pride, those fluffy woolen blankets, they're moth bait. This summer, moths can ruin them and enjoy every mouthful. So protect them against moths. Pack them away in Bugaboo moth crystals that destroy moth worms before they become destructive. And to rid your home of moths, flies, ants, mosquitoes, and other household pests, use Bugaboo Insect Spray. This fragrant insecticide kills them right now. When sprayed, it will not stain fabrics. And use Bugaboo Garden Spray for garden pests. Ask for it at your department or hardware store or your mobile gas dealer. Listen tomorrow night to Raymond Graham Swing at this hour over this station. Gasoline powers the attack. Don't waste a drop. This is the Blue Network.